Well, it's good to be with you tonight. I was here 8 years ago. Maybe some of you remember. I love Tallinn. It's such a beautiful city. I was telling my wife last night that one of the places we need to come to is Tallinn. So on this trip, I've been to Warsaw. I've been to Copenhagen. And Oslo. I bring greetings from Bakersfield, California. After working as a chemistry and physics professor for 35 years, I retired a little bit over a year ago. I retired early so I could devote myself to serving the church in whatever way. But I'm doing a very, very bad job of retiring because I was asked to go and lead a church. So at the age of 64, I moved to Bakersfield. And my main job is campus minister. I'm sharing my faith on campus. And it's a lot of fun. All right, so I'm going to do a lesson primarily from Hebrews chapter 11. But first, let me give you a little bit of background in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews was written to Christians who've been in the church for a little while. In Hebrews 10:32, he says, "Remember the earlier days. You did amazing things for God." But the audience of Hebrews, they're getting a little tired in their faith. You know, Christianity is like a marathon. It's not like a sprint. They had given so much, but they become worn out a little bit. And Christianity seems hard to them now. And they're thinking to going back to just being religious. But the book of Hebrews is a warning that if they go back to just being religious, they'll lose their salvation. So the purpose of Hebrews is to give courage to those who have been in the faith for a while. Now, if you're a new Christian, it's for you also. But actually, the primary audience is a more mature Christian. I see a couple of them out there. We say mature, we mean old. So here's the outline of Hebrews. Now, do you want to make it faithful to the end? Raise your hand if you want to make it to heaven. I thought so. So you know how you do it? You look to Jesus. That's the outline of Hebrews. Jesus is amazing in these ways. In Hebrews 1, he's better than all the prophets. In Hebrews 1, he's greater than the angels. In Hebrews 3, he's greater than Moses. That would get a fight going with the Jews. In Hebrews 4, he's greater than the Levitical priests, greater than Abraham. In Hebrews 7, he's greater than Melchizedek. Hebrews 8, a better covenant. Hebrews 9, a better tabernacle. Hebrews 10, better sacrifices. He says, therefore, because Jesus is so amazing, here's what you should do. So he gives us some admonitions. And those admonitions are, for example, in Hebrews chapter 2. He says, pay attention! Some of us, I don't know how you say this, and we space out. I don't know how to say that. We stop paying attention. And we start to drift. He says, it's like you're on a river. He says, you tie yourself to Jesus. Because if you're on a river, you could be going downstream and not even know it. And then you look at Jesus. Oh, I'm drifting. So we need to pay attention. Pay attention to what? He says, to Jesus and to your salvation. And then in Hebrews 3 and 4, he gives his second exhortation, which is to make every effort. You know, you don't just sort of accidentally make it to heaven. And some of us, we've gotten lazy in our faith. He uses an illustration from the history of the Jews. He says, consider those who left Egypt. Of those who left Egypt, symbolically, of those who were saved from their sins, how many of them made it to the promised land? Which would be symbolic of making it to heaven. Not very many. It's a solemn warning. We need to make every effort. And the third admonition, it's in Hebrews 5. He says, grow up! Some of you are still immature in your Christianity. He says some of them have a thick skull. He says they refuse to learn. So if you want to make it to heaven, you need to keep growing. He lists two areas. Growing in your knowledge of God and growing in your ability to overcome sin. And tomorrow night I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about loving God with all your mind. But then his greatest admonition, it's the subject of tonight's lesson, it's live by faith. So I want to talk about living by faith. Again, don't forget what we're talking about here. We're talking about how you can stay faithful to the end. The first importance, look at Jesus. But we need to walk by faith. So let's read Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. So you can just read that in Estonian. Yeah.
Usk on loodetava tõelisus, nähtamatud asjade tõelisus. Selle kohta on esivanemad saanud tunnistuse. Usus me mõistame, et maailmad on valmistatud Jumala sõnale nii, et nägematus on sündinud nähtamatud.
It says, I'm just kidding. It says, okay. It says, faith is belief in things that cannot be seen.
Usk on usk, lootus millegisse, mida sa ei näe.
Think about this.
Mõtle sellele.
Everything that's important,
iga asja, mis on tähtis,
is invisible.
On nähtamatu.
And everything that's visible is not important. But what do we tend to look at? Well, the visible things, obviously. I was sharing with the campus guys. They're asking, what can we do to help the campus? I told them, you need to see what can't be seen. You need to see a church of 1,000. And a campus ministry of 100. The others can't see it, but you need to see it. You know, faith requires that we deny our senses. If you look at the news, does it seem like God is in control? Not really. But by faith, we see that he is. If you look at my body, does it look like it's getting better and better? But the Bible says we are being renewed inwardly every single day. You know, success is something you can see. And success could even be the enemy of faith. I want to be successful as a Christian. When the church grows, I'm excited. But what if you share with 1,000 people and nobody came? Is your faith based on results? Or is your faith based on God? That's an important question to ask. He says, this is what the ancients were commended for. So we're going to talk about some of those ancients. Abraham, Moses. And the thing is, they did not have what we have. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have a church. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. And yet they walked by faith. So surely we can walk by faith. Some people say, I do Christian evidence things. That's one of the things I do. Some people say, why do we need evidence? Because evidence is something you can see. But faith involves things you can't see. You know, they're partly right. But it's not like evidence is a bad thing. Here's what I think. When you're given more evidence, then you should step out even more on faith. Says, this is what the ancients were commended for. These men and women of faith, they looked at the things of the world, everything the world values, and they said, garbage, useless. How about you? Is that what you say to money? Is that what you say to having a nice house? Is that what you say to having a perfect physique? Is that what you say to education? Garbage. Not that those things are bad. And not that they're actually garbage. But how about comparing to the things that are unseen? Let's read what Paul said about this. In Philippians 3, verse 4 through 9.
Kuigi mul võiks olla lootust ka päritolu tõttu, kui keegi teine arvab, et temal võib olla lootust päritolu tõttu, siis minul veel enam. Ma olen ümber lõigatud 8. päeval, ma olen Iisraeli soost, Benjamini suguarvust, Hebra rahvas sündinud Hebra mees, seaduse järgi variselt, innukese poolest koguduse taga kiuse, seadusest tulenev õiguse poolest laitmatu. Kui mis mul oli kaduks, seda olen arvanud kahjuks Kristuse pärast ja enamgi. Ma pean kõike kahjuks Issande Kristuse Jeesuse kõik ületava tunnetuse vahel. Tema pärast olen nimetanud kõik selle ja pean seda pühtmeks, et saada kasuks Kristus. Ja et mind näiteks tema sees, et oleks mul oma õigus, mis peab seaduses, vaid see õigus, mis peab Kristuses uskumises, see, mille Jumal on usku peab.
Paul had quite a resume, don't you think?
Paulus oli päris inge CV.
He was probably the best religious guy around. Circumcised on the eighth day. Tribe of Benjamin. Hebrew of Hebrews. The student of Gamaliel. A doctorate in theology. The most Pharisee of all Pharisees. Zealous for God. He says, what does that worth? Nothing. In fact, he said, it's worth less than nothing. He said, it's loss. It's like negative. Compared to knowing Jesus. But you can't see Jesus. You know, the writer of Hebrews uses an interesting illustration. He says, from faith we understand that the visible things were not made from something that's visible. Right? You can't see God. God is invisible. So everything that is visible is made by something invisible. What's his point? The visible things are nothing. Everything that's important is invisible. That's the definition of faith. I wanted to use Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as examples. Instead, I'll use my friend Cuc Hung as an example. Cuc Hung, he's a Vietnamese guy. His name is Cuc Hung. You can't translate that as Cuc Hung. I remember the first time I met him. He and his wife were leading the church in Vietnam. And I asked them, how's it going in Vietnam? And they both just started crying. I guess it wasn't going very well. And a few years later, I visited them. And the church was doing much better. Now, they were going to go plant a church in Hanoi. And just a couple weeks before they were leaving for Hanoi, a man burst into his apartment and beat him with a baseball bat right in front of his wife and children because of sharing his faith. It looked like a really bad idea to go to Hanoi. But they went to Hanoi anyway. He was still bruised. He showed up in Hanoi the first day, a knock on the door. It's a policeman. He says, did you come here to plant a church? It wasn't looking too good. Based on the outward appearance, maybe they think we should just go home. Ko Kong said, yes. And the policeman said, are you that Christian group that teaches you have to give up everything to be a Christian? Ko Kong said, yeah, that's us. And he said, well, I want to study the Bible. And he was the first conversion in Hanoi. Because we can't look at the things that are seen. So let's look at a few examples of men and women who chose to see the unseen things. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 4.
Mille tõttu ta sai tunnistuse, et tema on õige. Kuna Jumal andis tema angeli kohta tunnistuse ja usu kaudu, ta räägib veel surnunud.
Now, we don't really know all that much about Abel.
Me ei tea Aablist väga palju.
In fact, practically all we know
ainult asja, mis me teame,
is that he made a more faithful sacrifice.
Ta andis parema
ohvri. And I don't know about you,
ma ei tea, kas teiega on.
But when I die,
I
hope they say this about me.
Ma loodan, et nüüd ütlevad seda.
He was faithful.
Ta oli usta.
I hope I'm known as somebody who was faithful.
Ma loodan, et mind tuntakse kui kedagi, kes
oli. And we don't know much about Abel.
Me teame, et palju.
We know Cain killed him.
Me teame, et Cain tapis ta.
And the only other thing we know is he was faithful.
Ja veel üks asi, mis me teame, see.
And we're still talking about him.
Siiamaani.
What legacy are you going to leave? I really hope when people think of me, they think, boy, he was faithful. Let's read about Enoch in verse 5 and 6. We also don't know that much about Enoch. All we really know is that he was faithful. So God took him away. And he says, without faith you cannot please God. And if you want to have faith, you have to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Believing that God exists? That's easy. I mean, how could you not believe he exists? How about believing that he will reward you if you earnestly seek him? Do you believe if you put all of your reliance on God alone, that if you looked at everything the world has to offer and said, worthless, house, worthless, nice vacation, worthless, if instead you totally relied on God, do you believe that he would reward you? Do you really believe that he would reward you? Let's say you're single. Single. You say, God will give me a husband or wife if he wants to. You trust him for that. Maybe he says, no, I keep you single. Do you believe that would be better? If that's what God gave you? What if God gave you or had a chronic disease? Could you trust him even with that? You have to have a vision for what God can do through you. Do you believe that if you totally relied on God, he would do amazing things in your life? You know, I believe that. That's why I retired early. My financial situation, not all set. But I just want to serve God. Do you really believe that your reward comes fully from God? Enoch did. And God took him away. Now let's talk about Noah. Let's read about Noah in verse 7.
Usulägise Noa hoiatuses selle kohta, mida veel ei olnud näha, ja ta ehitas Jumala kartuses laeva oma pere päästmiseks. Ja selle kaudu ta mõistis süüdi maailma ja sai selle õiguse pärjaks, mis tuleb usus.
Notice what it says here.
Pane tähele.
Noah was born about was warned about something that had never been seen before. Noah believed in something that had never been seen before. That's the definition of faith. God says to Noah, I'm going to send a flood. Noah says, what's a flood? It's when it rains and rains and rains and rains. Okay. So how long is it going to rain? It's going to rain for 40 days. So I want you to build a boat. Well, what's a boat? It's a thing that you build for going on top of the water when there's a flood. Okay, I've never seen a boat. Alright, how big a boat should I make? 100 meters long. Alright, why should I make a boat 100 meters long? Because of the animals. What animals? The ones that are going to come. Why are they going to come? I'm going to make them come. When are they going to come? In 100 years. Noah built that ark. Noah built that ark. That's faith. I would have liked to have been there when he arrived at home. He says to his wife, wife, guess what? We're building a boat. She said, what's a boat? Well, it's a thing for floating on top of the water. What water? Well, there's going to be a flood. What's a flood? It's when it rains and rains and rains and rains. All right, Noah, who told you to build this boat? God did. Which God? The God that you can't see. Who had more faith? Noah or his wife? And then his neighbors came by the house. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Well, what's a boat? Well, you know, it's this thing you build for floating on top of the water. You get the idea, right? How do they feel about Noah? Crazy. If you walk by faith, Your friends, your neighbors, they're going to think you're a little crazy. Because you believe in things that can't be seen. And everything they believe in is something that you can see. You know, they laughed at Noah. But when the rain started coming down, and the door to that ark was closed, nobody was laughing at Noah anymore. Let's talk about Abraham. Let's read verse 8 through, I don't know, I have to go over here. 8 through 12.
Usus oli Abraham kuulekas, kui teda kutsuti minema paika, mille ta pidi saama päranis. Ja ta läks välja teadmata, kuhu ta läheb. Usus tasus elama tõotatud maale otsi kui võõrsile, elades tempides kus Iisaki ja Jaakobiga, kes olid selle sama tõotuse kaasperjad. Sest ootas kindlale alusele rajatud linna, mille meiste ja ehitaja oli Jumal. Usus sai isegi saaraväe suuruse rajamiseks ja seda eakuse soolimata, sest ta pidas tõotaja ustava. Seepärast ka sündis sellest ühtainsas, pealegi mehe jõu kaatunud mehest hulga poolest nii palju järglasi, nagu tähti taevas ja nagu liiva mere rannal, mida ei saa ära lugeda.
Abraham believed in something that he'd never seen.
Abraham uskus midagi, keda ta mitte kunagi näinud.
So God tells Abraham, go!
Ja Jumal ütleb Abrahamile, mine!
And Abraham says,
ja Abraham ütleb,
where?
Kuhu?
I'm not going to tell you. Because if you know where you're going, where's the faith in that? So I'm sure Abraham said, maybe just give me a hint. East, west, north, south. Help me. So God says, no. Pack up your things and start walking. Then I'll tell you where you're going. Are you ready for the Christian adventure? A lot of us, we want to plan, we got everything planned out. We got it all figured out. There's nothing wrong with planning. But what about your faith? Can you picture what God could do through you? It takes faith. So Abraham went home and he said to Sarah, Sarah, we're going on a trip. She said, great, where are we going? I don't know. All right, when are we coming back? Never. Again, who had more faith? Abraham or Sarah? By faith, Abraham left everything behind. Everything he relied on for his wealth and his comfort and his safety. If you want to walk by faith, you have to follow Abraham out of Ur. In fact, if you're a disciple, I guess that's what you already did, right? Right? Jesus says, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom. So anyway, then God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Like the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Abraham was about 99. He looked at his body. Yeah, I still have it. It's like Kaido. It's like Kaido. He's 50. And he's pretending he's 25. I don't know about that. But then Abraham looked at Sarah. 90 years old. She couldn't have children even when she was young. Menopause was 40 years ago. But Abraham believed. And God made him the father of many nations. The father of the Edomites. The father of the Arabs. And the father of the Jews. And Abraham has millions of children. And a number of them are sitting in the audience right here. Because we too are children of Abraham if we walk by faith. Now let's skip verse 13 through 16. We'll come back to that. And let's go down to verse 17 through 19.
Usus siis Abraham, kui ta proovile pandi ohvriks Iisaki. Tema, kes oli saanud tõotused, oli valmis ohverdama maailma sündinud. Tema, kellel oli löödud, sinu sugu loetakse Iisakist. Sest arvestas, et Jumal võib ta surnust üles äratada. Seepärast ta sai tema tagasi ette tähenduseks.
It says here, by faith, Abraham offered his one and only son. You know, it says in Romans chapter 1 and again in Romans chapter 4, Abraham believed God. And God saw that as righteousness. Now here's the question. What did Abraham believe? It says it in Romans 4, starting in verse 20. Abraham believed God's promises. He believed that if God said it was going to happen, then it was going to happen. And it says he didn't waver in unbelief about God's promises. But look at the situation. God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Then God gave him Isaac. And then he says, kill Isaac. What would you have thought about that? Because the command said one thing, and the promise said the exact opposite. Faith said, father of many nations. Obedience said, kill your son. And here's what Abraham did. He reasoned. It's sort of like 1 + 1 = 2. God says, kill my son. And God says, I'm going to make your son the father of many nations. How could those both be true? I know. He's going to raise him from the dead. God didn't say he was going to raise him from the dead. Abraham reasoned that. That's faith. You know who the most faithful people in the Bible are? I think it's Noah, Abraham, and Mary. What about Mary? Talk about believing in something that had never been seen. God said, I'm going to make you pregnant. Let's think about what's visible. First of all, that doesn't normally happen. Second of all, if she gets pregnant, her future husband will put her away. She'll be rejected by her family. And she'll live a life of rejection. But look what Mary said. He said, may the Lord's will be done. So, Abraham went to Moriah. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, that the Messiah would be raised from the dead on the third day. Where's that, according to the scriptures? Where's that prophecy? It's in Genesis chapter 22. Because like it says here, figuratively, Abraham received his son back from the dead on the third day. I want to make it to heaven. But we need to walk by faith. We need to walk in the footsteps of Abraham. We need to follow Abraham out of Ur. That's where you leave the things of the world behind. But we also need to follow Abraham to Mount Moriah. That's where you give up the blessings. That's where you give up the good things that God gave you. That's a hard place to go. But if we follow in the footsteps of Abraham, we're going to make it. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 11, 13 through 16.
Kuid kes sellised kõnelevad, annavad mõista, et nad otsivad kodumaa. Kui nende meeles oleks olnud maa, kus nad olid väljelenud, kuidas neil oleks olnud aega tagasi pöörduda, et nüüd nad lihtsalt paremat, see tähendab taevas kodumaal. Seetõttu ei ole Jumala nende pärast häbi, kas ennast püüda nende Jumalaks, kuna ta on valmistanud meile linna.
You want to make it to heaven?
Tahad jõuda taevas.
Here's the secret.
Siin on salat.
Just keep walking by faith. Just keep walking. If you're walking by faith when you die, then you made it. And that's what these men and women were commended for. If you're still living by faith when you die, you'll be welcomed into eternal blessings. But if you want to keep walking by faith, then you need to realize you're going to be a foreigner. You're going to be like an alien. Some of you are not from Estonia. You came here as immigrants. You come here, but your goal now is to become like an Estonian, right? But as Christians, that's not how it works. We're like foreigners here, but we're not trying to fit in. Now, fortunately, our strangeness is not the clothes we wear. We wear mostly the same clothes. Mostly we eat the same food. Mostly we even listen to the same music. But we're very strange. We're like an alien. It's because we live by an ethic that the world could never understand. We say the way to greatness is through humility. We say the way to wealth is through poverty. We say the way to happiness is through tears. The world will never understand. How many of you like to fit in. All of us want to fit in. But if you're walking by faith, you're not going to fit in. You're going to be like Noah. You're going to be building an ark. That's just the way it is. Because we believe in things that are not seen. Our neighbors say, you have to take care of your retirement. You have to set everything up. We say, that's not important at all. Getting people to heaven, that's what is important. You know, living on this earth as a Christian is kind of like living on a bridge. Because Abraham, the whole time, he lived in a place that was like a picture of heaven. But God said, I'm going to give you the whole land. But during his life, he only had one little field. Because he believed in things that are not seen. And do you believe in things that are not seen? Again, like I said, we're going to be foreigners in this world. You know, my passport says I'm an American. I'm not an American. My citizenship is in heaven. Now, I admit, when they have the Olympics, I root for Americans. But I'm telling you, my citizenship is in heaven. What about you? I'm afraid some of us have put down way too many roots here. We're way too much like the world. Our values are not kingdom values. I'm concerned about that. What do you look at? So remember, everything the world can see is visible. And that's always trying to take our attention. I remember a sister I once met in China. In Chengdu, in China. And it was a girl, actually. She was like 18 or 19 years old. And we were just talking over lunch. I didn't know who she was. I thought she was a member of the church. So I said, you know, in being a Christian, in being a disciple, we give up everything. And she started crying. She was weeping. You know, I'm a chemistry professor. So I make people cry all the time. I keep the Kleenex right by my desk. But I thought, why is she crying? And I asked her, why are you crying? I didn't know she wasn't a Christian yet. And she said, just this week, I joined the party. I thought, well, great, let's join the party. What's wrong with that? She was talking about the Communist Party. And the Communist Party,
yeah.
And in China, joining the Communist Party is a little bit like becoming a Christian. She promised to devote her whole life to the party. She said, if I become a Christian, I will break that promise. And not only that, I'll be kicked out of the university. And she says, worst of all, you know, they had the one-child policy in China. And in China, the parents, they just live through that one child. Yeah. Everything.
Kiinas vanemad, nad elavad oma ambitsioone selle ühe lapse peal välja, nad annavad kõik neile.
And she said, if I become a Christian, I will be kicked out of the university. I will lose everything I've lived for. And my parents will lose everything they've lived for. Then she said, but I'm going to do it. That's walking by faith. Let's look at a couple more examples. Let's look at Moses. Let's read verse 24 through 28.
Usus keeldus Mooses, kui ta oli saanud suureks, laskmast end nimetada vaevakütte pojaks. Ta eelistas pigem näha vaevakas Jumala rahvaga, kui üürikest aega nautida pattu. Sest see kiitus aretas suuremaks rikkuseks, pidas ta teotus Kristuse pärast, sest sa tõstis oma silmad tasupoole. Usus, et mis sa maha ja kiituse kartmata hunniga raevu, sest otsegi näes nähtamatud püsis ta vaprana. Usus toimetas ta paasat ja vere määrimist ukse viitadele, et hukkaja ei puudu kõik poeg.
Moses had everything the world values.
Mooses oli olemas kõik, mida see maailm vihkab.
He had it made.
Ta oli kõik hästi näinud.
He had the best food.
Ta oli parem toit.
The best clothing. The best education. Every girl wanted to go on a date with Moses. But Moses saw God's people. He saw them enslaved. So Moses walked out of that palace. Because Moses saw things that are not seen. It says right here that he saw things that are not seen. Let me see. In verse 27, he saw God who is invisible. And he became a picture of Jesus. Because Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. Just like Moses was at the right hand of Pharaoh. And Moses left the palace to become a slave and to live around slaves. And Jesus left the right hand of God to live around a bunch of slaves because he saw what God could do. By faith, Abraham walked out of that palace. All right, one more example. Last example. Let's read about it in Hebrews 11, verse 30.
Usus langes Jeriko müüri, kui seitse päeva oli käidud nende ümber.
Let me make one more comment about Moses. Moses looked at everything the world counts as important. He said, worthless. How about you? That's about Joshua. God says to Joshua, you're going to conquer Jericho. Joshua says, great. What's the battle plan? Well, march around the city and then go back home. The next day, march around the city and go back home. Do that 6 days in a row. And on the seventh day, march around the city seven times and then blow your trumpets and the walls will fall down. And I think Joshua said, ha, 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 ha. Very funny. No, what's the actual battle plan? What are you relying on? What are you relying on? So Joshua goes back to the people and he says, I've got great news. God told me we're going to conquer Jericho. They said, great, what's the plan? Well, here's the plan. You get the idea. And then the people said, ha, 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 ha. What's the real plan? So they walked around that city. They walked by faith. Literally. They walked by faith around that city. Now, if you're walking by faith around the city, what are the people in the city going to think about you? What did they think about those Jews? They thought, is this supposed to scare us? I've been in Jericho. It's about 40 degrees, 45 degrees centigrade. It's hot. And they were wearing themselves out. They laughed at the Jews. And if you live according to things that are not visible, let's face it, the other people at work, they're going to think you're a little crazy. Maybe even your parents are going to think you're a little bit crazy. And honestly, by their standards, you are crazy. They laughed at those Jews. But let me tell you this. When they blew that trumpet and the walls fell down, they weren't laughing at the Jews anymore. And on Judgment Day, those who laughed at you, they won't be laughing anymore. And God is going to welcome you into an eternal home. Can you see that home? Can you see heaven? You can only see heaven by the eyes of faith. Let's read verse 32 through 38.
Ja mida ma veel ütlen? Mul puudub aeg jutustada Gideons, Baranas, Simsonis, Jeftas, Taavetas, Saamuelis ning profetites, kes usulevi valutasid kuningriike, mõistsid koosid, kätte tõotasid, sulgisid lõvide suud, kustutasid tuleväe, pääsesid pakku mõõgaperealis, said mõtkuses tugevaks ja väljavaks sõjas, tõrjusid tagasi võõraste vaenuleele. Naised said tagasi oma surnud üles lõusnudena. Ühed lastasid end piinata surnuks, võtmata vastu pakutud vabadust selleks, et saada parema ülesõusmist. Teised said kogeda pihkamist ja hoosta, nüüd ahelat ja vanglat. Neid on kiridega surnud sisatud, pooleks saad, mõõgaga hukatud. Nad on lambaid isenahas käinud maailma ringi puuduses, viletsuses ja kurje kannatades. Nemad, keda maailm on olnud väär, hulkusid ringi kõrgetise mägedel ning varjasid nüüd koobastas ja olukas.
What can you see God doing through you?
Mida sa näed, et Jumal teeb?
Think about that. All these people walk by faith. Some of them, God did amazing things. Others of them were tortured. They're in the same list. He said some of them conquered kingdoms. They gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions. They overcame the flames. Their weakness was turned to strength. They routed armies. Women received their children back from the dead. Others were tortured. Some were jeered at. Jeered, like laughed at. Some of them were flogged and thrown in prison. Some of them were stoned to death. Some of them went around in rags, wandering in deserts and mountains. And it says in verse 39, but all of them were praised for their faith. But none of them received the promise. Brothers and sisters, we've received the promise. We have the Messiah.
Melon Christus.
We have salvation.
Melon Pastor.
Jesus said, anyone in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. That means if you're a Christian, you're greater than John the Baptist. Me greater than John the Baptist? Yeah, because you have the Holy Spirit. Says they were faithful. They didn't have so much of what we have. And God says he had something better planned for us. You know, I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you. You want to go to heaven. Two things. We need to look at Jesus. He's the inspiration. He's the reason. He's the one who gives us salvation. Better hope. We need to look at Jesus. But we need to walk by faith. We need to look at things that are not seen. Like Paul, we need to say to the things of the world, garbage. Our citizenship is in heaven. And if you keep walking by faith, then when you die, you'll enter your heavenly homes. And God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Can you picture that right now? Thank you.
Коли це брат, давай, Johnny.